Will you pray with me?
May God grant
that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On days like today, I wonder if we can hear the absurdity of what we are saying in church. Truly hear the absurdity of what Jesus said to his disciples 2,000 years ago, words that keep repeating to this day. But you see, one of the biggest problems with folks like us who do show up in church on a somewhat regular basis, one of the biggest problems with us that we have come to expect it all. The weird, the crazy, and the absurd. Blessed are the meek. Care for your widows and orphans. Love your enemies. Go, sell all you have and give it to the poor. Sure, we can say it in here, in the sanctuary of this sanctuary, in the context of scripture, of example, in the context of the history of this congregation. But how well do you think that would fly outside these church doors? The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those hungry and thirsting for justice. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those persecuted for righteousness' sake, they are the blessed, Jesus tells his disciples. And we are still reading it today, calling it with all our might and persuasion, the gospel of the Lord, regardless how many questions we might have on such a proclamation. But ever so often, I wonder if one of my colleagues doesn't have a point when she says, when the absurd begins to sound perfectly reasonable to you, you should start worrying. I think we could make a case for the Beatitudes doing exactly that. Because if this is Jesus' program, his foundational speech, as it appears here in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, we do have to worry, because with those words, with those actions, we will not and we cannot conquer the world. These are words to change hearts, not change actions. As a friend of mine and lawyer by profession once reminded me, these are words to comfort, not to win. And if we believe them and act on them, we will be the ones that the world will run over in its drive for the bigger, the better, the faster, the more influential, and we will find ourselves in a heap at the side of the road. That's the gospel. And as crazy as it sounds, that is also the people whom Jesus calls the blessed, and whom he proves with his own life and his own death to be children of God. And yet, what Jesus proclaims here goes against everything that we have ever learned, everything we have ever come to trust, everything we have ever come to understand. Because what it says is that the less we are in control of our lives, the less we are in control of the outcome of a process, the more we find ourselves in the need of God. And the more we are in need of God, the more we are blessed. Which is absurd, right? Because we have come to learn and understand and trust is that God helps those who help themselves. That the early bird gets the worm, whatever it wants to do with it, and that God's blessings manifest themselves in our lives in wealth and riches and happiness. Now Jesus turns this whole thing around and says, it isn't so. Those who are blessed are those that the rest of the world calls losers, and those who are blessed are all of us crazy and holy and hungry ones who still believe in something better. Yes, we can say this here in this place without blushing or being laughed at, but what about the world outside this building? If you don't believe me, just imagine that this afternoon, Jesus and his disciples are having tickets to the Super Bowl. They are a gift, of course, because Judas would have never signed off on the expense. So there they stand, with their 42-yard line tickets in hand, in the Hard Rock Stadium at Miami Gardens, Florida. They do look a bit out of place, but also excited in the sea of red and scarlet and gold. Jesus yells at them, "Come on up higher, you can't understand your own word down here." "But how about the game?" they protest. "Never mind the game," Jesus says, "trying to tell you something." And when they finally reach a place where he can gather them around, he begins, "Blessed are the ones who are the losers. Blessed are those who get sacked. Blessed are the ones who are being tackled." Well, behind and beneath them, helmets are crashing, tackles are made, and someone even advances the ball by an inch and a half. Don't you think that our valiant president would accuse Jesus of vussifying America? Or if this is just a little too weird for you, try being meek at the grocery store this afternoon and see how far you get. Meekness is fine for church, but in the real world, the meek stand in the checkout line for hours while others are cutting in. Try to be a peacemaker and see how you get what you loathe to do to others. Try to be merciful, and you will get it done to you a second time. And then you find yourself persecuted for righteousness' sake and be called a fanatic in the process and wonder what in the world we are supposed to do with these beatitudes. Which pretty much is exactly where we are going wrong. This is exactly where we are going wrong in trying to figure out what we ought to be doing in order to be blessed. In taking those beatitudes as to-do lists, as things we need to be or do in order to be blessed. Instead, the way that Jesus talks of them, they are descriptive. Not telling us what we have to do in order to be blessed, but reminding us that we are blessed when we are taking our discipleship of Jesus so seriously that we have to deal with the consequences of our actions. Then we are blessed when we mourn. Then we are blessed when we are meek. Then we are blessed when we thirst for hunger, for justice. Then we are blessed when we are merciful. Then we can stand up to bad behavior and abuse, knowing that we are not alone. Then they remind us that our discipleship is never in vain, and that no matter how beaten up we feel, Jesus says, "No, you are not failures. You are blessed in who you are and what you do." All of us can picture and name people, some famous, some only known to us and God alone, who remembered these beatitudes in the darkest times of their lives. A Nelson Mandela, incarcerated for 27 years because he couldn't stand the injustice of apartheid. A Bishop Oscar Romero, executed on orders of the government while celebrating Mass in the Cathedral of San Salvador after speaking out against the poverty of his people. A Mother Teresa, with her long and disturbing nights of the soul while still tending the homeless, sick, and dying in the streets of Calcutta. A Dietrich Bonhoeffer, killed on Hitler's orders less than a month before World War II for participating in a plot to kill him to avoid greater bloodshed. And those are only the more famous ones. Those are only the ones that made it into the evening news and into the history books. Well, the more personal, the more impressive are the stories of our parents, our siblings, our friends, or our co-workers, folks who try to do things right and charitably and always seem to have to pay for it. Blessed are you, Jesus says to them. Blessed are you. But in spite of everything that seems to go wrong for you, keep doing justice. Keep loving kindness. And keep walking humbly with your God. What we do is absurd and makes very little sense to the world. But we know that it is the way of God, the way of Jesus. And together we seek to walk and follow that road for the sake of the church and for the sake of the world. Because the world needs that witness. And blessed are we when we live it. Amen.